Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, you. This episode of the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast is sponsored in part by AdamandEve.com. They are here to help you get all sorts of adventurous. In the theme of this week's episode, do you know how many nipple toys they have to choose from? 35. Go to AdamandEve.com and you'll get 50% off almost any item when you enter offer code SEXNERD at checkout. You'll also get a free Big O kit. This handy kit includes their exclusive Climax gel and a mini vibe. Free vibrator, y'alls. You'll also get your entire order sent to you for free. So get on it. Take advantage of this deal while it lasts. You can choose a new adult toy, a naughty movie, almost anything else for 50% off. You also get free discreet shipping. Did I mention the free vibrator? Just use offer code SEXNERD at checkout. That's SEXNERD. You know it. At AdamandEve.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hello, fellow sex nerds and associates. Welcome to the show. We are talking about lots of yummy goodness this episode. I'm very proud of the in-depth conversation we got into about pleasuring breasts and how to handle them, and we kind of nerded out about bras, all sorts of different things, and juicy stuff for everyone involved. A few things. One, a little bit of a warning, as there's a lot of gendered language ahead. When you hear the word men, please just imagine it means the men I've been with, not all men in the universe. Often when people speak about their experiences and the deductions, sometimes it sounds like generalizations to everyone. Not the case, but it can be shorthand. So in case you feel a little triggered by that, just know it's coming from a good place, because there was so much good stuff in this episode. My guests were just fantastic. I love it. I love it. It was so good. I'm enthusiastic for people to hear about this, because I think it's a lot of stuff that people don't talk about when it comes to breasts. So also, for anyone who has a little bit of a little OCD, if you want to count the amount of times that we say boobs or tits, I listening to this episode, I'm like, I must have said that word at least 50 times. Feels like it. Also, in the second part of the episode, I'm sorry for the dog barking in the far background. I apologize for that. Yes, I like dogs. That's where it's at, but just not that dog. Portland dates. Hey, everyone. Okay, look, if you know anyone in Portland, let them that July 7th. I'm flying into town and going straight to Dante's. So that's July 17th, Thursday. It's 8 p.m. Tickets are $12 at dantesLive.com. It's a live podcast, and my guest of honor is webcomic artist and creator of Oh Joy Sex Toy, Erica Moen. Ah, this is going to be so much fun. She is the best and so adorable. And, shy in my favorite kind of way. And so we're just going to have a fantastic time. I also heard a rumor that Portland sex parties have a no glove, no love rule. Like, literally, gloves must be worn. I've been reaching out to some FetLife people, and I definitely want to get into the culture, subcultures in the Portland area, because I've never been. So yes, please come out to the show. Let your friends know. It's going to be an amazing time. And then Sunday, July 21st, I'll be teaching at Shebop, wonderful education-focused sex store in town. I don't know workshop I'll be teaching it, but I'll be there on Sunday. You can check their website. All right. I hope to see you, your friends, your loved ones, your ex-coworkers who moved to Portland because they were super weird. I hope to see them all at that show and at that workshop. And now, please enjoy this week's episode. Rachel Butera, hilarious, wonderful, honest, beautiful, beautiful guest. I adore it. And my friend Rachel from previous episodes, yes, two Rachels. Who knew? Talking about all things bras. Oh, man. We're about to get into it. You ready? Are you ready? Let's do this.
Hey, Sex Monkeys. Sandra here. And we're going to be talking about breasticles this episode with my friend Rachel Butera. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for braving the fact that we're about to talk about a special part of our bodies. Or I think of it special. Do you think of it as special?
Yeah, I do. I've been thinking about my boobs all day today in anticipation of this podcast, actually. yeah, I like having boobs.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, they're cozy. Good for hugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Guys love to like hug and smash their chests against you when you got boobs. I guess it's just something they don't have and it feels foreign and weird to them. But I've noticed that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because good for pillows and laptops.
And for crying on and just sobbing on when they need a mommy.
I know you as a lovely human, but I also know you're very funny. You're a comedian and you are a voiceover actress.
Yes, I am those things.
Or actor. Actor, actress. What do you use?
I say actor. I use the actress. Yeah, I do all those things. I do stand up and videos on YouTube and voice acting, cartoons and commercials and stuff like that.
What are you most known for in terms of voice actor stuff? Because I know that you do a wicked Simpsons impression, but I don't know if that's like, do you have like a specific thing that's like, people are like, do the thing.
They asked me to do Wanda Sykes a lot, Rosie O'Donnell. I'm known for impressions because I did them on the Howard Stern Show, and that's why I'm even out in LA, and that's why any of this is even happening. But people are always asking me to do them. Do me, you know, do my voice. But not everybody has like a great voice to do. But yeah, I would say probably Wanda Sykes and Rosie O'Donnell are the big ones that I get asked to do.
God, I've never even, I mean, Wanda Sykes, like, immediately I think of, like, I hear her in my head, but Rosie O'Donnell, not as much for some reason for me. But
she's got very large boobs on a large frame.
There she is.
Yeah, that's her.
Oh, yeah. I guess, yeah.
I haven't really heard her talk in a while. Like, she doesn't do a lot anymore in the public eye, you know what I mean? And then there's, like, crazy Rosie, like, back in the day, like, when she had her show, it would be like, my next guest, oh, my God! You know, and she was very, like, Pee Wee Herman excitable.
Wow.
And now she's just sort of older, and she's more serious, and she doesn't, you know, she doesn't really go crazy anymore. She sort of just talks like this, so there's, like, nothing to it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's close to my voice, so.
Huh. God, I haven't thought about Rosie O'Donnell's career trajectory in so long, and you're doing
it up for you.
Yeah, doing the voice and giving me a lot of history there. That's wonderful. Well, okay, awesome. Well, I'm glad I get to steal you for talking about what do you call them? Boobs, breasts, tits. What are your words? Go-to words for them?
My go-to is tits. I hate jugs. Isn't that gross? I say tits and boobs. That's it.
Okay, how do you feel about titties and boobies?
The words?
Yes.
I'm fine with both of those. Titties is hysterical. I mean, it's kind of gross. Like when, like, it depends on who's saying it. If like a guy you're not attracted to or like a gross guy says titties, it's kind of gross. But when I say it, it's funny. Or when a girl says it, it's funny, I think.
Titties, I think of a lot of movement. Like there's a lot of like motor, like motorboating going on, or like there's like a rapid back and forth happening. Like it's very active.
Titties.
And then boobies is, I think of like as children, like a very mommy.
Juvenile. It's very juvenile. The term boobies. Like when a grown man says boobies, or like points to you or makes a boobies reference, it's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, it feels a little bad touch.
Yeah, it does. It does feel like that. Boobie. When a grown man should not be saying boobies.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Those are my two off words. I mean, breasts, but I feel like it's too like artistic to say
like the word breasts. I don't even like to say chicken breast. I just don't like that word as a word. Breast. I like tits. Tits is great. Tits is a great word.
Tits.
You don't like.
No, I think I used to. Because I tend to, like, lube. Like, I went through a long water-based phase, and then, like, I went through silicone, and now I'm, you know, I'm kind of into coconut oil right now. Like, I go through phases, especially in sexuality, so I went through, tits was my thing for a long time, and I think I'm a little into boobs now.
Boobs. Boobs. I like knockers, too. I say that a lot.
Oh.
That's a funny one. Knockers.
Now, we have different sized boobs.
Yeah, we do.
Are you comfortable saying what size breasts you have? Boobs?
Well, my cup size is only a C, even though I know they look much bigger than that. Mm-hmm. I always say it's like all side fat, just like stuffed in the cup. Like, everybody's always talking about how huge my tits are, and they're not. It's just like they're, and anyone who's seen me naked, any man who's seen me naked, would probably confirm that, yeah, they're not as big as they seem in the bra. So they're C, mm-hmm. That I wear. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a D and I don't know it, but I wear a C.
Well, later in this episode, you won't be a part of it, but it will be all about a very intense bra shopping experience.
Oh, my God. That's going to be so amazing. I always said I want custom bras made because nothing fits me right.
No, we need to go to this place.
I know, but they're too big and they cover up and they don't show my cleavage. I like plunging bras, but you know what I mean? That don't have that giant full cup or that giant back, because I have a big back. I'm a big girl. So it's like I want... What I want doesn't exist. We'll see if they have it at the Wizard of Bras.
I believe in us.
We're off to see
Emerald
the Wizard.
Titties.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mine are, well, first of all, side fat and back fat turns out totally boob stuff too. Like because bras.
It is. Yeah, it's the side going in, and it's all part of, it's like one big unit, you know what I mean? Yeah, unless you're small boobed.
But even then, I mean, unless you're like super skin and bones, like you've got, yeah. There's the, what we look like clothed with bras on and the shape, like the fashion mm-hmm. of our shape. And then there's the natural nakedness of ourselves.
Yeah.
Those are two different things.
Two completely different. I hate my boobs in the raw. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they're nice at all. Mm-hmm. But in the bra, the cleavage, like they look pretty good.
Huh. That's like the opposite of me.
Really?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're great when I'm naked, but they're just, everything's kind of proportioned. Like, it's all right, you know? Whereas with clothes, I mean, that's a whole body thing. Like, it's the fashion of the shape of the body and, yeah. like, how it fits with clothing.
Yeah.
It's annoying as f.
Yeah. The clothes for me are good because, you know, I mean, there's barely a day that goes by where I'm not showing my cleavage. And it's almost not by choice because there's so much of this chest and cleavage that it just pops out of the top of everything I wear. And then some things I wear on purpose, but yeah, in the clothes they look good, but I always feel like a fraud because then when I take the bra off, they like, I have, my tits are really far apart. Like I don't have good cleavage naturally. Some women have that nice cleave line down the middle, and I don't have that. Like they separate.
You gotta smush them together.
I gotta smush them together. Yeah, and when I lay on my back, they're gone. They're like, I'm like flat chested.
But that's natural.
I hate it. I hate it.
Okay, do you hate it because like porn boobs and fake boobs, or I mean, if we got a like. 100 women with different size breasts together and we all put them on their back. Do you feel like you're on like the far spectrum of flatness?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty flat because I think because I don't have enough muscle tone around them to keep them looking perky when I'm on my back. They just like go to the side and then it's just not an attractive look to me. I know nobody cares. I know no guy has ever thought that laying on top of me, but it's my own stupid girl thing. But I hate it.
I've dated primarily men, but I've also been with women and dated women. So like when the like flat side spread thing happens with the boobs on their back, I'm like, woo, boobs. I don't know. Like it looks really beautiful to me.
Really?
Like it's makes sense. Like it is logical. And logic is, it feels, it would be strange if gravity, like that's a natural law of physics.
I know. No? I don't like physics, though. Physics pulls things down and out. I have enough down and out going on. You know what I mean? I would like, my friend Jen has the world's greatest tits, to me. They're perfect in every way because she's been lifting weights since she's like a kid. Mm-hmm. So she's got all this muscle tone around her chest and she's got that perfect cleave. Like, you know, when she's naked, they're like the perfect round shape. Her nipples are like on top. You know, they have that little like, that little like a dollop of whipped cream. They're like on top. They're not too big, they're firm, and they're fucking huge, and they're just perfect. And she's 42 years old and she's still got the best tits I've ever seen. And when she lays down, they go to the side, yes, but there's enough muscle tone around that there's still like a hill when she's laying on her back, you know what I mean? So
I hear you. I mean, yeah, what you gonna do?
There's nothing you can do. It's too late for me. I can lift all the weights I want, but it's over.
Yeah. Do you do the arm, like the, cause what I do is, cause yeah, I mean, my boobs are definitely far apart, but they're smaller. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking A, B, even though I'm fairly broad for my height, chest wise, like my rib cage is fairly broad. Like my band size can go from 32 to 34. Mm-hmm. I mean, it definitely presses through fat layers, but it's like to really support them.
You are so not fat. Well, I mean, to say that.
Well, I mean, like, if I wanted to be more comfortable, I'd go to a 36, like, which would be 2 inches more. But, but I do like feeling strapped in, so I get a tighter bra. Like, I'm just like, boom, I'm ready to do anything, take on the world. That's my bra. I used to buy 36s. That's what I mean. Like, cut. So, like, a B at size 32 is way smaller than a B at 36.
Yeah.
I realize that this isn't really. Do you know about the bra size, cup size thing?
No.
Like, because, the, like, if you, like, what is the, like, 36C? Mm-hmm. You've got the band size, which is measuring. It's like a couple different measurements, and you do a little math, but it's the size around your rib cage, underneath your breasts, and then the cup size is your cup size.
Yeah.
But a C, like a C36, would be much bigger of a C than a C32.
Is that because they're anticipating that a person who has a big back would have a larger cup size? That's what I always assumed.
I don't know what the logic is, but it's like a B is not a universal thing. Like, I'm a B, I'm an A. Like, an A36 is much bigger than an A32. It just totally is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even when you get up higher, too, like a 30, like a 40C is different compared to a 42C. The cup is as big as your head.
Yeah, and so all this talk, like, since pre-puberty, when people talk about cup sizes, it didn't help at all. Oh, okay. You're talking about there's a lot of boob. Like, what is your, like, is it okay if I ask you your band size?
Oh, it's 40. Yeah, well, it's like 40, 42. So.
Okay. So like a 42, let's say a 40C is a 38D is a 36 double D.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like that. And the, like, once you start getting into the D cups in the bigger band size, they're just, you could lay in them like a hammock.
So the fashion of breasts, not helpful.
Not at all. I mean, bras should be, and they used to be custom made, probably back in the day when clothes were tailored for you and you couldn't just go buy en masse at Target and these big box retailers and stuff like that. You know, how the notion that I could buy a bra off the shelf and you could buy a bra off the shelf and they both fit correctly is insane. So, but one, you know, now that we've moved into this, this is what we're dealing with. And to get bras custom made is expensive, but I hope to one day be able to do that because I would love to see what an actual bra that really fits me right looks like.
I want to talk about so many things, but what actually inspired me to ask you to talk about this is the fact that it started to become apparent the more I was with women that the act of being with a female and grabbing breasts was really awkward. Like, you know, like, cup your boob right now. Like, I'm going to cut my boob, right? There's something natural about, and anyone is listening, if you're not right in front of your boss, cup your chest too. It doesn't matter what your chest, if you've got boobs or not, it doesn't matter. Just like cup your hand to your nipple and feel what's going on there. That feels natural. Like, if there's something warm about it, you know, you're just,
yeah, it's
right.
Wonderful. I have my hands on my tits all day, all the time.
But for me to put my hand out to somebody else's chest, it is the most awkward. It's like I'm swiping at something.
Really?
It feels weird. Like, put your hand out, Rachel.
But I would have my hands like this. Oh, I would be cupping them. I would be cupping them the way I cup mine, only turned out. Like, I wouldn't be pawing at them like that. I would be doing this. I'd be doing, I don't know what we call this motion. It's
Okay, so I started with a fingertips up, kind of like a high five action. And Rachel is doing like,
I'm starting with my hands like almost in prayer and then making a bowl. You know what I mean?
Right, like you're drawing a heart in the air.
Yes, like I'm drawing a heart in the air with my palms, and I would put them underneath, because underneath a tit is so hot, like under the nipple and that round, like warm, smooth under part, like, and grab them like that and then just squeeze. This is what men don't know how to do. This is what, and then I was talking to you a little bit about this and I don't want to jump ahead, but the fact that you said putting a hand out like that seems awkward, that is awkward, because think of the shape of a breast. It's like this. It's meant to be cupped. It's not meant to be You know what I mean? Like, coming at it like that is just, it's not right.
Like the claw in the carnival game that you try and get the teddy bear and it, like, never gets the teddy bear. Yeah, it feels weird. Now, you're going straight up just underhanded, like, fingertips still round, forward.
Like, grabbing, like, here, we've got onions on the table, right?
No, but this is a podcast. People can't see.
Okay, but they can, this is theater of the mind, right? This is like, so here we have two onions, round onions, and, like, if you just go like that, it's kind of like you're grabbing.
What's like that?
Like, grabbing, like you said, like, hand out like a bear. Like, it's like your palm in a baseball, and you're ready to throw a pitch, right? But then if you have them in your hand, and you're going like this with them, like the bowl, the heart, they're, like, meant to be rounded and caressed on the side and from underneath is what I think. But I'm thinking big boobs here. I don't know about small boobs. I don't know from small boobs because I've never touched small boobs.
I mean, you know, it's similar. You just might not get as much palm pressure going on. But it's almost like instead of a high five, you're putting your hand out for two handshakes, like a side motion. Like you're starting
caressing someone's face, the side of someone's face. Like I would touch your face like that. I would do the same thing with your boobs. I mean, like the thought of it's like squeezing melons in the store, right? How would you pick up a grapefruit and test it? You'd pick it up and you'd put it on top of your hand. Your hand would be underneath like a bowl and you'd give it a squeeze. Like that's what I think of when I think of touching titties.
Sometimes I just put my hand out and squeeze it.
You do what you feel, man.
No, it's a great parallel, though, because I wouldn't touch your face by putting my hand on your nose and eyes. I would go side.
Okay, yes.
You might be like, where? But then eventually your hand would find the curve of my face and you'd follow it. Mm-hmm. So it's just like following the natural curve of things for me.
Right, and what I've felt when people have felt me up for, like, if we're making out, like, face to face, because being from behind someone, it can be, but yeah, there's the forward. I'm sorry, I'm like totally.
We do need to name these things, though. So we need to bring these things to, like, name these hand movements so men can stop doing them.
Right. And I have to say, I have definitely had that thought many times, like, wow, dudes be clueless about my boobs. But it's not like every woman I've been with has been really good at handling my boobs. I wish I could say it's true, but it's not. And I have been awkward too, so any baby lesbians out there, I'm sorry. You have to practice as well. Get to the produce section.
So you're saying neither men nor women on the whole do it right?
I would say that. I mean, and I've had some guys who really get it. I mean, I definitely have to tell them how I like. It's be the bra. It's like, be the bra. Bras come from the side and underneath and lift up. Yeah. I don't like that smashing downward force.
Right,
though.
Because it's just unnatural. It doesn't follow the curve of it. I mean, I can't. So many men just don't seem to know. For a nation that's obsessed with breasts and men obsessed with breasts and all they do is look at cleavage and talk about tits, very few know how to handle them. It's too generally too rough. They just twist your nipple or they bite it or they suck it too hard or they
We haven't gotten nipple stuff.
I know. I mean, and I know everybody likes it different. Like some girls like it really hard on the nipple, but I think there are some general principles to follow when you're fondling a woman's breast, especially when you're not really like heavy into the shit yet. You're just touching them for the first time or cupping them and stuff. Like I know they get excited, but you've got to be a little bit gentler. You can't just squeeze them like it's Play-Doh with your fingers all tight next to your thumbs. Like you need to put them in your palm and feel them, you know?
Go broad first. Just, you know,
broad
give up
strokes. Yeah. Broad strokes to begin, yes. But that's just me. I mean, I know the way I like it, and I know that throughout my life very few men have really known what to do. Because I could have an orgasm just from having my nipples licked if they put in the time and really know what they're doing. But only two guys have done that to me, have taken the time to do that.
When I hear that you can have an orgasm happen from nipple licking, I imagine that if I didn't know you and I wasn't a sex educator, I heard that, I'd think, go straight for the nipples.
Yeah, that you would think that. But so few men pay any attention to my tits. Like, what are they doing? Like, this is the main thing, you know? And I know that they don't know that, but even if they don't know that, you've got these two big things, like squishy things, and that you're looking at all the time. But then you, once we're having sex, you kind of just let, you just ignore them. I find this to be the case so often.
Well, I've heard that when women have bigger breasts, that the tendency is that they're less sensitive. But this doesn't, yeah, you're making a face like, no. But you're saying that they tend to get ignored?
Mine do.
Mine do. I can't speak for everybody, but mine do. I will give it like a cursory squeeze, a cursory suck, but then it's all just about like, and listen, it's probably because I'm not in relationships with these guys. I'm just, you know, having sex casually or whatever. But even still, you would think that that would be like one of the pleasure points of the girl that you're with. But I find that a lot of men don't really seem to care about my boobs as much as I would think. You know, they're just all about the vagina and the ass. Like, suddenly they like my big ass, which is a new thing for me. They've always liked my boobs, and now they like my ass, and so I'm confused. I'm like, wait a minute. Because my feet, to put your hand on my ass does nothing for me, really. Like, but your hand on my boobs can do so much.
Oh, man, we need to talk. Well, we'll talk about butt stuff some other time, but I'm all about butt cheeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, it's fine, but it doesn't, like, it's not an erogenous zone for me, like, the way the nipples are, you know?
Well, okay. Do you mind if I ask more questions about nipple play?
No, please do.
What if they, a cursory squeeze, a cursory suck, then they're ignored, but then they're smashing them? What is an ideal breast, tit experience? Like, how would you walk me through the ideal sensual experience of your breasts being worshipped?
Okay. Oh, my God. So, stand behind me, put your arms around me, and, like, slowly put your hands, like, up my bra. Like, slowly. Like, lift the bra up over my tits, and then, like, let them fall into your palms. And then just squeeze them, you know? Just, like, feel them and squeeze them. Let your, like, fingers brush over the nips a little
bit.
When
we say squeeze, do we mean, like, a finger? You know, like, that fingertip? Like, I'm squeezing your arm right now.
No,
like,
palm
this?
Palm grip. Palm grip.
Palm pressure.
Yeah, like a football. Like, you have your whole palm is on a football. So it's like that. And it's just, like, squeezing and enjoying.
Rachel, this is a nerd podcast. Football metaphors don't go far here.
I know. I don't even know anything about football either. Then you take my bra completely off, and now my boobs are, like, hanging there, and you're just caressing them, and, like, you're pinching the nipples lightly, and you're letting your fingers brush over them lightly. And then when you finally, like, come around, you know, and you're sucking them, but you're not, it's not like you're sucking, like, like, I find these guys, they suck so hard, and it's not enjoyable. Like, you have to have your mouth open, you know?
Yeah, wider, broaden out the suction area.
Again, broad strokes. Yes, broaden out the suction area. And also, like, what happened to, like, flicking the nipple with your tongue? Nobody does that anymore. Hold it in your hand and flick the nipple with your tongue.
Like, while it's in the mouth or just kind
no,
of...
No, you're holding it and you're flicking it. Like, your tongue is out and you're flicking the nipple.
Okay, now...
That drives me insane. And that hasn't been done in so long.
Rachel, we need to remedy that.
No kidding. I mean, I don't tell them either because, again, these are not people I'm in relationships with. So it's like, I feel like it's not even worth it to tell them. But I don't understand why this isn't done and why this isn't just a known thing, you know?
Oh, man. My single and relationship status evolves and has evolved over the last couple of years a lot. But if I'm in a situation where I know I'm in the middle of or starting to hook up with someone, I have a list now. Like, hey, FYI, this is my FYI for hookups.
I love it.
Yeah, like breasts, great zone. I like it like this. Not so much like this. Also, just, you know, a little Easter egg for you. If you smack my booty like this, well, you know, like I have a whole list so that they, it ups their game.
Yeah.
And it helps. And it's like, I know a lot of people are like, I will say that it's like, it's only a one night stand. So what's the point? It's like, cause you can get shit done faster.
I know. I don't know why I don't open my mouth. I just feel like it's not, I'm like, I'll just power through it and whatever. And like, it's just fine. But I never, I rarely demand like what I want unless I'm having sex with the same person repeatedly or we're in some sort of a thing. But, you know, if it's one or two here or there, like I'm like, just let them go. Mostly what I'm saying is, ow, not so hard.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
What I'm always saying to all these guys. And they just don't get it. You know, they just want to pull your nip. They want to twist, feel like they want to pull it off or something or bite it off or suck it off. Like, I don't.
Super bummer.
Yeah, it is a total bummer. I just don't get it. And I mean, like, Yeah.
Okay. I mean, my breast experience of what I flicking. Okay. Like nipple anatomy. We've got the areola, mm-hmm. which is the whole circle. Mm-hmm. And then you have, I mean, some people have more nipple actually sticking out. Mm-hmm. And there's the very tip, the top of the peak of the volcano.
And there's
the cylinder of it. Mm-hmm. For me, areola is, I mean, of course, foreplay, like if someone's just going for nip immediately, it's no.
Yeah.
But areola and like just next to the areola is like, it's a joy divine.
It's transcendent. It can be.
However, the very tip, like the top of that,
the end of your nipple,
you mean? Like the very top of it,
where your milk would squirt.
Exactly.
Out if you were preggo.
Yeah, super preggo. That area, fountain. That area is too sensitive, and if someone were to flick it, I immediately jerk.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's so specific because the side of that cylinder. I mean, of course, hard nipples. Like, I'd have
where
to have hard
the nip where the eraser meets the areola is what you're saying. Like, and all around the side of it, but not the tip.
Like, think of a Pringles can, just like those can, like cylinders. That's clearly too long.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
But the lid and the top would be don't touch that.
Okay,
or don't focus on it, but the sides of the Pringle cylinder are fine.
That's hard because it's hard to avoid that area with a tongue when you're like, you have to like swoop around the side of it without ever touching the top.
That's all about the swooping.
That's pretty tough. Yeah, swooping is important. Like, put the fat part of your tongue out. Like, I'm not saying you right now, but men, stick your tongue out as far as it can go. Now plant that tongue on the flat surface of a tit or a nipple or an areola or whatever, and just lick like a dog, like you would lick an ice cream cone. Like, you have no fucking idea how good that feels, like to just be licked, like with a whole flat tongue. It's fucking transcendent, and nobody does it. They're all just in a rush to come. They don't care.
So this is now, in your experience, because my responsible sex educator part comes out, because it sounds like this is your experience of dating and hooking up. I hear different things from different people, but that sucks that that's your experience, you know? Like, that's really fucking frustrating. Like, I want to talk to you more about talking during sex, because, like, I want you to have kick-ass casual or whatever, you know?
I don't know if it's possible for me to have kick-ass casual. I mean, I can have, you know, enjoyable. It can be fun and whatever, but I don't feel like I'm ever going to get totally what I want, because if the person doesn't care about you, or they're not listening, or they do it once but then they forget and they go back to what they were doing, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, I just feel like I'm never, and I'm also a pain in the ass. Like, I want very specific things that, like, I haven't had since my high school boyfriend did them to me. He really ruined me because he was so amazing at 18 years old that, like, you know, it's hard to compare anybody else, and my other boyfriend Mike too. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like these very specific things, and I feel like, but this is a self-worth issue. I feel like they're not, if I tell them what to do, they're just going to get aggravated and leave, or they're just going to stop, or they don't want to put the time in to do what I want them to do. It's a self-worth issue that I'm working on.
What about, ooh, that was a motorcycle. What about, see, because I don't, when I say like FYI, here's some stuff I like, I don't think that I'm telling them what to do. Like, it gets a little more stressful when, like, let's say someone's going down on me or something and I have to give instruction. That feels a little bit more uncomfortable. But if it's, hey, FYI, these are things, and I just sort of lay out a picnic table, and it's like, you don't have to do any of that. But just so you know, if you're interested in making me feel good, these are some key points.
Yeah.
So that it's not telling them they have to do any of those things. And so it's empowering them to make choices.
There's this one guy that I was having casual sex with earlier in the year, and he's really good about asking me questions. But, like, you know, like after the fact, he would text me, like, did you enjoy the sex? Like, what did you like? And I would tell him things and stuff, and he was good about listening. But, you know, I mean, it's just rare. And it's, if you don't have that, like, real connection with somebody, that's a huge thing too for me. It's like, if that part is missing, it doesn't really matter what you do. I'm never going to feel like as amazing as I could. But I'm just astounded at the general touch of boobs that I come across. You know, a lot of guys touch me like they're a 14-year-old boy who are having tits in their hands for the first time and they don't know what to do with them. And I don't know if they're intimidated or if they're, I don't know what, or just so excited or what it is. But yeah, my general experience has just been not that great with boobs, boob play.
Minimally, what do you think about the bra? Just really smush them together and bring them up.
Yeah. I like smush them together and bring them up. That's nice. That feels nice. It feels nice to have a whole hand on your boob. You know what I mean? I was like on the couch with this guy that I was fooling around with, and I was complaining about my tits, saying they're too far apart. I think they're ugly. He's like, what are you talking about? So I whip off my shirt and I like, you know, I show him. He's like, they're nice. What are you talking about? I'm like, they're too far apart. He's like, no, they're not. So he goes to grab them and he pinches the nipple. I go, just put them in your hand and hold them. And he did. I swear to God, it was like I was on a cloud. Oh, that's all I did. He just held them, and feeling his big hands like just holding my boobs like a bra. It was just amazing. Like that's all you need to really do to get started, you know? And
Does feel nice.
I know. Just I'm like thinking about it right now. Just like a big, warm, manly hand on your under your tit is like amazing, you know? Because when does that area really get touched, if you think about it? Like, your under boob is probably, like, the most pristine skin on your body. It doesn't really get tanned, you know? It doesn't get a lot of roughness.
Yeah, it's real sensitive, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's a largely ignored area. How do you feel about boob slapping?
I feel pretty good about it. But direction is everything. Just, like, spanking or, like butt, like see, I have a lot of specific feelings mm-hmm. and about technique around ass grabbing uh-huh. and how people do it versus how it's. I love telling people about that stuff. And the same for like smacking, like the way you hit the breast, like mm-hmm. across, like from outside in,
yeah.
across the heart, or down versus up versus into the body, like yeah. just forward toward the heart. Those are such different feelings, hitting with the whole palm versus like the fingertips. Yeah. Why do you ask?
Because I can't say that I'm into it because no one's done it to me. But when I watch porn and I see it, like there was this one porno where the guy was like behind the girl. I'm big on the guy behind the girl, but standing up. I'm like big on that. He was like behind her and he was holding her one arm behind her back so she couldn't move. And then his right hand came around. He was just smacking her boob from like the top down. Mm-hmm. And like, I love to watch tits shake and jiggle. Like such a turn on for me. So like, it was just moving in this way. And I was like, okay, I like that. I'm going to be watching that from now on. And so now like when I watch porn, I'm like hoping that they smack the tits. Mm-hmm. And then when I masturbate, I'll slap my own boobs. Like, it sounds really sad and pathetic, but it...
Not at all.
That's what I do, like, now. Because and it's because I'm not saying that like, I don't like a roughness on the nipple, but not right at first. You know what I mean? They have to work into that. And then as long as you feel safe and comfortable, then they can give it a little smack. But, I mean, it feels nice because it jiggles. I like things that, like, shake and jiggle.
Yeah, that's why I like ass smacking.
Yeah.
But specific ass smacking.
Specific ass smacking, yeah.
I mean, I just kind of smack my boob just on the downward because I don't generally like that sensation.
Top down.
But yeah, but I noticed that, I mean, I could feel a little nipple sensation and like that, mm-hmm. it resonates. Like
yeah.
It's like you're vibrating the whole body, like in the chest.
It does. It shakes in a different kind of way than anything else. Yeah, it's like, it's like a tuning fork, right?
Just smacking our boobs.
We're smiling. I like it from the side too, though. It's nice from the side and underneath is a nice feel. But like when you're masturbating, it's, and when you're doing it to yourself, it's totally different. So it's like.
Nope. Not different. I allow myself to fully enjoy that.
No, I love it. I enjoy it too. But it feels different when it's coming at you from an outside angle than when you're playing with yourself. Like somebody else doing that is totally different than when you're touching your clit. It's just a whole different feeling. But
do you get ghost sensation? You like to see the jiggle. I get that. When I see breast play that's done in a way that like mimics what I would like, mm-hmm. I feel it in my own chest. Like it's happening to my chest.
Yeah. I do feel it a little bit. I mean, when I'm watching a porno and a guy's like really being attentive to breasts, which is rare, I can feel that for sure. Same with when they're going down on somebody. If they're doing it right in a porno, which is also rare, like slowly and just sensually, like I can totally feel that.
Yeah, I think that's actually part of our brain. Like we can, like if you see someone hurt themselves, like hit, like smack their head, you kind of feel it in your head.
Handsome feel. Yeah, when I have bad knees, I have a knee injury. So whenever I see somebody doing like a skateboarder, when he jumps up and then lands back on the skateboard, my knees tingle like they're numb. Like I can't watch anybody. I mean, I can watch anybody doing anything like sports wise that they land on their feet or their knees, and my whole legs like feel it.
Yeah, that's a really neat part of porn I don't hear anyone talk about, is that it's kind of like areas of my body do I feel what they're feeling.
You totally do. And like the neck, I'm not that we're talking about necks right now, but like if a guy is like all over a girl's neck or whatever, forget about it, because that's like my favorite thing.
Forget
about it, the neck.
I'm looking at my notes right now and I titled it Life with Boobs.
It's hard. It's like a conflict though, the boob thing, right? It's like I want to have them out. They're out. Like, it's funny, in California, everyone's tits are out because it's beautiful weather. Everybody's beautiful. No one cares. It's very free out here. And so the minute I got here, I'm like, oh my God, I'm home, because nobody's going to make fun of me for having cleavage out here in New Jersey. I kind of got made fun of. And like, one person even called me white trash for showing cleavage. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know. I think tits are the most amazing, beautiful thing. And the more I see, the better. So as soon as I got here, I was like, oh, I can finally just be me and my boobs are out and I don't care. But then there's this whole thing is like, are you dissing yourself? Are you taking respect away from yourself because you show cleavage or you let them hang out?
Well, other people are making assessments, you know, like you can respect yourself all you want. Other people, I have noticed lately that fashion wise, there's more covering up happening.
Yeah.
And I've found that because I'll wear something that's a little more low cut, like something where I'm dressed up, and I look around and realize all the women have stuff that's like really a high neck. And I know it's fashion, but I realize that means something if I'm the only female showing more skin. It's kind of, I mean, it's a little like, oh, really? Because I like air. Like I like loose.
I have a few items that go up to my neck or that cover my chest completely. I never wear them. So every once in a while I'll be like, maybe I'll be conservative today. It's not even that I can't leave the house without showing my tits. It just doesn't feel right to me to be covered up. Like I've always felt comfortable in less clothes. Like the minute I get home, I take my pants off. Everything comes off. Like I don't know. I feel more comfortable that way. And so showing like all this in my arm, I hate having anything on my arms, but I know these hipster fashions are like, bring it up to the neck. Like, you know, and I just can't get down with it.
It's frustrating that there seems to be a thing where the more skin that's showing, people can't process that feeling. Well, I mean, men, we definitely, I feel like seeing cleavage definitely changes my mental state. Like there is something about it that kind of makes me feel, sometimes it makes me feel hot, or like I'll have a hot flash, or I'll have attraction, or it'll just make me feel like distracted a little bit, like I want to look.
I do too,
but I don't get angry at myself for it. But I'm fairly practiced at not staring. But men tend to stare even more, not to me, because you know there's not a lot going on. But it's terrible that it has to be either or.
Right.
That if you create that sensation, or if other people feel that inspiration from your body, that suddenly you're less of a person somehow.
And I don't know if that's true. I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, you wouldn't go to a job interview showing cleavage, or, you know, there's certain events that you won't go to showing cleavage. And I don't know. I don't think much about that. I just honestly wear whatever the fuck I want. And if you have a problem with it, it's your problem. I don't care. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of power in our bodies, but instead of feeling powerful, like, you might feel things about these boobs, but guess, feel them. Yeah, go ahead. And I'm still going to be me, and you just going to have to deal with that. Like, most people feel like, oh, let me cover those up and not let me, like, not go there. And, like, people might think I'm slutty or, you know. And it's like, no, I'm just going
to
be me.
I think, I mean, there's also some merit in dressing conservative. That's what you like, too. And having the air of mystery is nice, too. And sometimes I see a girl who's not showing her cleavage, but you can tell she's got really nice tits under that shirt. And that's exciting, too. I just love tits. And I get the appeal of that as well. I guess that, like, buttoned up businesswoman or that librarian that men are attracted to, like, it's all beautiful. It's all just like tits underneath and it's all nice. But lately I do wonder, like, oh, if I wear a regular shirt, like, is a man even going to look in my direction, you know, if my tits aren't hanging out? But the truth is that, like, when most men walk by me and they look at me, they do look at my face and not my tits. So I don't think that argument holds water.
So you don't, even though you tend to wear lower cut things, you notice people don't stare at your chest?
No, they do, but, like, well, I mean, we're in LA, so it's a lot of Mexican guys, so they stare right at your tits and they don't care. But no, like, I find that when I'm walking by a man and I look at him and he's looking at me, more often than not, he's looking at my face and not at my tits. Or, like, he'll look at my face and then look down at my tits, you know what I mean? Depending on the shirt I'm wearing. But, like, yeah, I mean, you catch a guy here and there staring or looking, but I think I don't give them enough credit. I'm like, oh, they're only looking at my tits. But the truth is they're not. Like, I'll see them looking at my eyes or my face or whatever it is, you know? But they do both for sure.
I've struggled with this because I check everyone out. Like, how can you not? It's like you have to do the evaluation, but it's the lingering eyes. It's like, no, okay, you get to glance.
Yeah.
You don't get a stare.
The glance is okay. The stare is weird. I don't, I mean, I haven't come across a lot of guys that just keep staring, you know what I mean? But they might keep returning. If they keep returning, then you're like, all right, buddy. But then really, how can you blame them? It's like you said, it is mind-altering, and it also is just a distraction. Like, skin changes your focus, your vision, you know what I mean? It draws you to another area, so how can you even help it?
What frustrates me is, because let's say I'm really attracted to someone, and I keep staring at them, and, you know, and I know that my eyes just keep freaking finding them. I'm like, Sandra, stop. Just calm down.
Yeah.
But when I have to interact with them, I tell myself, you are a person. I know I'm having this experience with you, but with your looks, but you are a person. So let me talk to you like a person. Like, I am able to do, like, not let that fully cloud the way I talk to them. I don't enjoy it when someone talks to me differently because of the way I look. And I can tell.
How can you tell?
Like, with a guy who talks a little bit softer to me, like, a small kind of Asian looking person.
That's,
like,
gross.
Oh. I mean, I don't really get, like, the hey, hot mama, like what's up? I don't really get that, but people will talk like I'm a small person, like I'm a young, like I'm a child sometimes will talk to me.
But do you think that's because you are in fact small, or because you're hot, or because they're attracted to you? What do you think that is? You are small, so I understand the tendency to talk to you like you're small.
It's the talking to someone and letting their looks inform you to a point that you're assuming things about them. And so, like, assuming that someone's, like, up for sex because they are creating hotness in you,
right,
because of their body. Okay, we have gone all over the
boobs.
Yeah, boobs. Jeez. Wow. Thank you so much for taking
them. I could talk about tits all day, so anytime you want to come back and talk some more, I will tell every guy what he's doing wrong and how to turn me on.
No, it was hot. I learned things about myself and about life. Where can people find you in the world?
Oh, okay. So you can follow me on Twitter at Rachel A. Butera, Butera, on the Facebook. And I'm performing in the Eagle Rock Comedy Festival at the end of June. And you might see me on America's Got Talent one of these days. So check it out.
Ew. Are you still on Howard Stern once in a while?
I can't be on it until I'm not on America's Got Talent anymore, because he's a judge and there's a conflict. So, but hopefully soon I will be able to call into the show and do stuff again for him.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, thank you very much, and go team fun.
I wish you and your beautiful breasts a wonderful day. I'm assuming they're beautiful. I've never seen them, but you're beautiful, so I'm sure they are. And I'm going to take my titties out to lunch.
Bye.
Bye.
And now a word from our sponsor. Hey, let me take a moment to tell you about a neat product I've been using lately. It's a cool gadget called the No-No Pro. If you've listened to this show, you know I'm stupidly body positive. I don't like the brutality of waxing, and I'm not so great with razors. So that's where I am. The No-No Pro is this really fun and really great way to remove hair from secret and not-so-secret places with no pain. Ha-ha! Whether it's your legs, your arms, your face, your whatnots, or your whatnots, I'm using it personally on my legs, though I sometimes get bored and remove random patches of arm hair because it's that fun. It's easy to use, and the results last for weeks. The No-No Pro comes with a 100% 60-day money-back guarantee when you purchase through their site. So if you're curious to broaden your horizons, just give it a try. You also get a $50 gift card to an award-winning skincare line. So go to, and this is very important to use this website, nonosandra.com. Yes, literally, nonosandra.com. I think that .com is hilarious. So that's where you go. Go there. Go there. Enjoy the thing. All right, let's get back to our show. It's bra time. You will learn things. I learned things. Oh, the things.
For me, I mean, the only thing I learned about bras from the media were that there's, you know, our boobs are supposed to be a certain shape, very round and up, you know. But then also, the only techniques I learned from movies and things were how to undo a bra with one hand. That's the only thing I learned about bras is how to take them off.
I didn't even learn that.
No, like the makeout scenes in movies?
No. Oops. Let me go back.
Well, I mean, it more planted the idea that I should practice. I mean, or that my boyfriends, they'd be like, can I do it? Can I do it? And there was always this thing of like, can I? Have you ever had a guy try and take
it? Try and fail. Yeah.
Ooh, with the one-handed? They're
yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But then it just ends up being like a more, and I meant to, oh, forgot that other hand. Oh, I meant to, that was, this was just tied up for a minute and there I go.
Yeah, no, I'd sit there and be like, you can do it. I believe in you. You can do it. Like, we'd really try. It was a team effort.
You're so supportive.
I think I wanted the fantasy of the one-handed bra undo. It was exciting for, you know, 2 years maybe. And then I was like, okay, let's just take this bra off. God, no one's trying to take off my bra off in years. Sad.
Oh my god. I love knowing that.
Okay. So, hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Do I say your last name on here? You've been on the show before.
Doesn't matter.
Secrets.
So you want to talk about our trip to
Wizard of Bras.
Yes, it was an adventure.
Yeah, so we have a mutual friend who was like, you guys, we've got to go to this place that custom fits you for a bra. And I was like, I'm down. Were you as extremely excited as I was to go on this field trip?
First of all, the name, I'm sold. But secondly, I knew from this person telling us in advance, but also just from life, that I was probably wearing the wrong size.
Okay.
So I was kind of excited to see how wrong I was in general. Because you get one at a certain point and you're like, yeah, that's probably me. And then you wear it forever. And it's weird or tight or your shirt is, it sloops into it or whatever. And you just, you're not sure how to measure right. Anyway, you just go with whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You bought 10 years ago.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed actually going, the three of us. And the ladies were very direct.
They're hands on.
They're real hands on. They're really hands on.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never had anyone smush my back fat around as much as they did.
Oh, my God. Accurate.
Yeah. So we went on this like a 1 hour drive to a magical bra store.
Yeah.
And oh, also, by the way, just I don't know if they're related, but the place is called Wizard of Bras. Disneyland on Main Street. Oh, you're nodding. You know about this?
No, I just meant like it felt like we were almost all the way to Disneyland is how far we drove to get there.
I was reading, you know, like one of those BuzzFeed lists of like things you didn't know about Disneyland because I like to procrastinate. And one of them is that they, on Main Street, they used to have a lingerie store called Wizard of Bras.
No.
I have no idea if it's the same store, but, you know, a little tidbit.
Wow. Okay. Yep.
The internet told me.
Well, I like it. I'm going to go with it.
So, like for me, the reason I wanted to go so bad. Well, one, our friend was like, she was a 32B, is what she'd been wearing her whole life. Turned out she was a 30 double D.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh my gosh, I remember that.
It's intense, you guys.
That's a huge change.
It's a huge change. In the previous interview, we were talking a little bit about explaining like what the band size versus the cup size means. So a 30-inch double D is very much smaller than a, like a 40-inch double D, but still, holy hell. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, okay, so my issue has been, like, I've got smaller boobs. I'm like a AB. You know, if I gain some weight, like, I'll be like a full B, and I'll be like, woo! You know? Yeah!
This week, I am huge.
Yeah. But I don't have to wear a bra. Like, I can just walk around a bra. I mean, it's nipple city. Am I right?
Yeah, currently.
Oh, yeah. She's not wearing a bra, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, she is. I mean, she's not. I mean, I'll edit this out. I mean, I'm embarrassed now. Oh, my God. But for you, like, did you have the thing? Because one thing I've always felt like my rib cage size versus my, like, I was broader in my rib cage versus my cup size. So it never really fit right. And then when I'd lean forward, I'd have these, like, giant pockets of air, like, inside my cup. Like, my cup never fully covered the boob. There was always, like, room for a burrito in there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember what I thought I was before. Like, I don't remember what the measurements were before I went in, but my bra is right there, so I can read it off if we need to, if we need to. But I definitely always bought some version of an A. Mm-hmm. And I had the same thing where I think I was buying, like, I don't remember if it was like 34 or 36. I don't remember. But when I went in, they showed me how much space. Well, so, you know, it's fully on, it's fully clasped, and they put their fingers underneath the strap in the back, and they pulled away from you, and they said, look how much room there is here. There's no reason to be buying a 36, you're not this big. And that was the big problem, because it had nothing to do with the cup size. I actually had to go up to a B, but I needed to get a tighter cup size so it fully fit all the stuff. And, you know, I'm sitting forward, my shirt's no longer swooping in and picking up that burrito, you know? Yeah. So that was good.
It changed your life.
It really changed my life. Yeah. It did. I love that bra so much. And any bra that you're going to get, it's like $40 or $50 anyway, if it's like a normal, decent bra. And that's all their prices were. Like, I never noticed them being crazy in the price. So I feel like I need to make a pilgrimage maybe like once a year to go there and get stock up again. And I don't mind if them telling me, like, because they just do it as part of their service to like measure you and stuff. And like, what if later in life you're different? And I'll be like, I've been going to you for 10 years. You've been feeling my boobs for that long.
I think, what was their number? They had like 10,000 bras or something. It was like some ridiculous, unbelievable number of bras.
With them? Like there in stock?
Yeah, like they pointed their stock like, we've got 10. Like they just a huge number. My jaw dropped. Just like yours, just now.
I didn't know that. I guess I didn't see that far. I was too busy with the lady like grabbing my back fat, like telling me how to smush it up into the front cup.
My bra wasn't, let's see, was my bra too big? My bra was a little too big. I was wearing an A, and the problem, because if I can fit a burrito on the top of my breast inside a cup, you'd think I just need to go to a smaller cup.
Right.
But then, because the cup size, for in case you don't wear bras and you're listening to this, is actually the half moon shape of how it cups the underside of the breast. Just like we just talked about how you cup a breast when you want to make it feel good underneath and a nice, and just like a little bird in your hand. Just a little bird in your hand. Yes, it is. So if the wire or the shape of it, because Rachel, you don't wear wires,
no.
Right?
Mm, no.
Yeah. And you don't have to, turns out. Yeah. Why do they do that to us?
I don't know, because they're evil.
It's so mean.
It's super mean.
But that shape gets narrower, like the half circle diameter gets smaller. So then my breast just sort of like gets crammed into.
Like, was it pinching you?
Yeah, like the side boob, which is an important, sensitive, lovely area. It gets smashed into this tiny cup. So then I don't have room for, you know, it's more a taco size, you know, space. But then my breast is unhappy. So what do? You hate your boobs is what you do for the first 15 years of having boobs. That's what happens. That's my life.
I really like talking to you. Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I definitely, like, I don't know how many you walked away with, but I walked away with one. I think our friend walked away with two.
That's her jam. Like, she's been going. Yeah.
That's her. I feel like we are not the first people she showed this to. This is not her first.
No, I mean, well, she's the Oprah story that goes up and is like, I was a third of two being. Guess what? You know, like, that's... she has the match. I mean, I was almost the same. I went up a cup a little bit, but depending on which company. Because, you know, I have cheated on them a little bit and, like, shopped at other places. And I am a 34 band in other brands.
Yeah.
But it's the way... Okay, so this is... Okay, there's the fitting of it, but then there's how to put it on. Like, how did you put on your bra before? Okay, and I am, like, I want to apologize if you don't, like, wear bras or have any, you know, you're not around bras ever in your life. But, like, if you date women, it's good to know about these things, especially if you want to buy someone a bra at some point or a lingerie. Because I've talked to lots of people who don't wear bras who want to buy stuff for their partners. And by golly, they have no effing clue.
Mm-hmm.
No clue. So anyway, carrying on, how did you put on your bra before versus now?
Well, I think it started off similarly, where you, like, fit it in the front, mm-hmm. and then swoosh it around and then put the straps on.
Wait, did anyone tell you why to do that?
No.
Oh, me either.
But when they... So the first one, because they give you several to try on, mm-hmm. and the first one I did... what I thought was normal, and it was a little tight, but it was, you know, seemed like an okay fit. And she literally, I mean, she didn't even ask, which is fine. Like, I don't care. I'm not, like, super modest about that kind of stuff. She just reached, pulled open my boob or bra, and then reached in and just did it for me, where she, like, grabs the fat from behind and, like, pulls it up into the front.
Wait, did she reach into your cup and behind your cup?
Yeah. Like, oh, wow. she just showed, because she was like, this is, you know, she was just showing me what it would feel like to do it so that I could then mm-hmm. provide for myself. But
that is one thing I mean, it's okay. Like, it's okay. However, I did notice, and this, I went shopping at Trashy Lingerie, which is like a custom lingerie store in LA a long time ago. These lingerie people do not ask consent. Have you noticed that?
But I feel like she did warn me that she was going to be like... all up in it. And I said right away, that's cool. That's fine. Like, I had such a great experience there. Like, everything about them was amazing, that, like, they could have done almost anything and I would have been okay with it.
Right. Like, I get it. I don't think I mind asked, but it's like, it was like, it's kind of tacitly understood, but mm-hmm. I still appreciate, like, hey, I'm going to, you know, like, gyno rules, you know, I will now be touching your body. I will now be inserting a finger inside your bra cup, you know? Anyway. So did she, like, force you to lean over in an awkward position while she, like,
I think she just asked me to lean forward while doing it. And she watched me do it to make sure I was doing it right. Mm-hmm. And she was like, that is how you're supposed to wear a bra. Like, that's what you're supposed to do to get into a bra. And then she showed me how to shake, like, you shake your bra. So it's not just like, so you pull everything from the back. So now it's, like, sitting really, really in the front. Mm-hmm. And then you lift the straps and you kind of shake it into place.
Oh, you got a strap lifting lesson. I got to jiggle the middle. So.
Oh, she just showed me how to, like, lightly lift up on it and then to, like, shake them down, a little avalanche style.
Okay, so steps. Okay, so steps for putting on a bra. Now that we're first, is you clasp it. Take it, and you do not put the shoulder straps on first. You mm-hmm. clasp it around your waist, and you can secure it in the front if you want, and then twirl it around. Mm-hmm. But just make sure you do it at the waistline. Did she tell you that?
I think so. I mean, I think I was already kind of doing it, so I don't know if she mentioned it.
Oh, no. My strap used to be so much higher, like almost higher than my nipples on the front. Like,
really?
And so she was like, uh-uh, girl. And she's like, 1950s style. You need to get that action down to your lower back. So that's for clasp it, put it to the back, and then what?
I think she just had me, I don't know if she directed me in any way, but I just put it over my shoulders and we tightened it so that it could be in the middle of the back instead of really high. So it was, like, right in the center. Mm-hmm. That's where the straps were ending. Mm-hmm. But because the fit was better, the straps no longer just sort of occasionally fell off.
My straps don't fall down anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want them to.
Yeah. And she did mention, which I kind of was curious about. She said, you're going to think it's too tight because you've been wearing super, super loose, way too big for you bras, in terms of band around the torso. She said it might even like cut in a little bit in terms of like leave a mark, but she was like, it's supposed, that is the whole point, is to be tight here and be tight here, so, up and down, so that it holds you. Like, I mean, if you're getting, you know, you're cutting off circulation, yeah, we have a problem, but like,
it's like a cock ring.
Yeah. There's a happy medium. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of a, like a metaphor or a parallel in life, but there's something about, like, for me, having a band around my chest squeezing me is the worst feeling. Mm. But something about the pull down, so that there's this anchoring in the lower back and these bra straps, like, it's like this 3-point engineering system that all makes sense now.
Yeah, because not one point is super tight. That's what it felt like to me. It was no longer, I didn't mind that it was a little bit more snug. I wouldn't even call it tight. I would call it snug. So that it just felt like all the pieces made sense together now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a miracle, really. You know, I wanted to be a lingerie.
It's a miracle.
I wanted to be a lingerie designer in college. I took fashion design classes.
I didn't know that.
I mean, just for like, you know, like in one of those, like, I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be that. And like for a time I was like, this is what, and I studied fashion design and stuff, then decided that I don't want to do that anymore.
Fair.
But what I wanted to do is design. I was so frustrated with underwear and how poorly everything fit. Little did I know, I just needed to go have somebody tell me how to do it.
And I did run into the situation you mentioned where going to like more of a chain or places that are, you know, something basic like a Target or whatever, the size, the band is a little different. Mm-hmm. Like trying to get the exact same fit at the exact same sizes that she gave me, mm-hmm. not exact.
Yeah.
That's why I'll go back there. I want to cut out anything that makes them sound like harsh or negative at all, because they were so rad. Like they were just like the most cool. I was like so happy when I left there.
It was exciting. And then we ate at the like psycho killer diner next door.
Crazy. We're the only people, you're gonna murder us.
Yeah, don't eat there. Since we went, I actually gained a bunch of weight. Like, so my boobs are bigger. So
now we need to go back.
No, I need to go work out. But yeah, okay, that too. But no, it's kind of a, like, I just need to. But it has been helpful too. Was it a good time? Because there's more going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy hell. It's like I passed them through the threshold, and all of a sudden I was like, cool. Yeah, hey, boobs. Hello. Welcome.
Yeah.
You know, don't stay too long. Anyway, Rachel, thank you for...
Yeah, of course.
Reliving the magic.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.